episode 372, July 23rd, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've got with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
From radio, oh, 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 now in a closet studio, oh, 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 they are Robin Joe. All the listeners in the chat room, they make Rob mad, 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 but when they slurp our producer, oh, you know it makes them glad, glad. The girls that Joe loves so, they're all too young to vote. He wants them. Oh, tied to his bedpost.
What's up, everybody? Rob and Joe here. Robbie Robinson, the original three in the building. And by in the building, I mean two separate buildings.
Starting our eighth year of doing this show.
That's right. You did point out that it was our anniversary a few days ago. So we go into the eighth year.
Wow. Well, does that mean we're going into the eighth year? We started in 2011 or we started in 2010? And
we started 2011. Our seven-year anniversary was like Thursday, right, Rob?
We're starting our eighth year. Got it.
Do you think this show will be better than our very first show?
Our first show was good. That's when we talked about you. We talked about Casey Anthony and how Robbie wanted to bang her.
Yes, still
we talked holds up. About you wanting to be OJ Simpson would be the best possible neighbor you could ever have.
I think that's probably incorrect.
And I think I might be wrong about this, but that's where we told the story about Robbie who had the girlfriend who fell down all the time.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. That's pretty solid.
Do you think we've mentioned her 20 times since?
Oh, 100%. I just mentioned her. That was just the 20th time just now.
Do you think our show is clearly, for the most part, the audio is better, but, I mean, are we 7 years better than when we started?
No, we're not. Here's the deal. You and I both had a lot of radio experience going into that.
Right.
And when we did that, we had every story we ever knew hadn't been told yet.
That's true. Yeah.
So, now, I do believe we lead interesting lives and interesting things happen to us, like, for example, the story where we have a guest coming up.
Yes, we do. We had a murder mystery. I wasn't there, but you were there. And the crowd, and actually we had a really good crowd at Jam and Java. The numbers did pick up.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. Let's thank the audience because we were begging for ticket sales. Yeah. And we ended up making some money, is good. That's my goal, not reach into my pocket to pay Robbie.
Yeah, you guys came through for us. But there's someone in a murder mystery that is almost always adored, but the crowd did not care for this person.
I wouldn't even say not care.
Okay.
That's almost indifference.
They had a clear dislike.
Yeah.
Disdain.
Yes.
All the disses.
And then afterwards, we went out to eat, and they didn't like him there either. So we'll...
Okay, we'll call that person soon. I'm back from Philly, another weekend with David Koechner. We'll get to some of those hijinks. We've got, I don't know, we have another Graham story, but you guys want me to hold it, and I
don't want to go back-to-back Graham stories, but now that you said we have one,
do that on purpose? I saw Scott Bergson in Philly, and he met Koechner, which means he has an advantage over Mac, but I actually, he read the Graham story. I pulled out my phone.
He read the original.
Yes.
Transcription.
He was the first to he probably knows it before you guys, so.
And you guys just ask if we are 7 years better than we were at the beginning.
Yes.
Max says we've never been as good as we were the first 53 episodes.
You know what? He's probably right. So, like, if our best of, like, if we did our best of in our first 53, or that would beat our best of since. I don't know about that.
Was Chris Restivo's interview, original interview in the first 53 episodes, Robbie?
I don't think so.
No.
Because that's my favorite episode of all time. When he did the tennis ball impersonations, it's the hardest I've ever laughed.
You're talking about A Star Is Bjorn?
That's right. And then you got in a fight with Rob because he shit on the name.
Yes.
When you thought it was particularly clever.
I still say that the first Scott Apple music quiz was the funniest thing.
Wow, you're right. That was a great one. Maybe today's.
Maybe it will be today. Can we call this most disliked person in Vienna, Virginia?
Vienna, Virginia. Yeah, that's his Achilles.
Calling the most hated man in the, I don't know if that's considered Fairfax County. I'm not sure what that is.
It is Fairfax.
He's got to be excited about this call.
Yeah, usually beloved.
We gave him 5 minutes notice.
To get his story right. To defend himself.
By the way, hey, what's up, Eric?
Eric Woodworth, ladies and gentlemen.
What up?
Hey, you're on the
air.
Hey,
everybody. How's it going?
Good.
So before we talk to him about what we were just talking about, I feel a little bit bad because, you know, what you're about to talk to Eric about, that's not what I told him we were talking about. When I said we were calling, it's about a discussion between Robbie and I, but you want to start with him being the most hated man in Vienna, Virginia?
Yeah. Now, I wasn't at the show this past Saturday night, Eric, but, you know, I get a detailed report from Joe, and he said that you were disliked by the audience.
It was like I walked into the upside down world, Rob. I don't know. I didn't know if up was down, left was right. Cats and dogs were living with each other. It made no sense. I did the classic fuck doll song, yeah. Right from the bat. Do you know what happened?
I heard zippy. Nothing. No response.
They hated it. They got no response at all.
So without giving too much away about the show, what we do, what Eric normally does when he goes up, is he plays this almost nervous, vulnerable, bumbling character.
As the warm-up act to this TV show.
As the warm-up act. And it really endears the audience to him. But another thing I usually do is I usually say, hey, this show is rated R. If that's a problem, too bad, we already have your money. It's a joke I literally have said 1,000 times. But the last show that we did in Annapolis, I said super rated R, and Rob said that was a bad idea, and then it got in my head, oh, maybe I shouldn't be saying that. So not only did Eric go up with confidence, which he should never do. He should never do that.
He should never have confidence in anything in life.
He
Eric.
Shouldn't have confidence. But I also did not prepare them. So he went up there, and he started doing crowd work. You know, like, hey, how's everybody doing tonight? What are you doing? What's that? So he's doing that. And so they're like, all right, well, this is a seasoned guy. I have him as the warm-up act. He's coming and representing himself as a warm-up act. They don't know that this show's dirty. And then there's one part of the song where it's almost like, you know, it's a rug pull where, you know, you're telling the story about one thing and then you say what it is and it's particularly foul.
Yes.
And that always, there's a gap there. And then he says this line.
Yeah.
And it's always a laugh.
Always. It's either a good, it's either a solid laugh or a massive laugh.
That's it. It's the only thing I've ever heard. Well, this one, here's how you know Eric's in trouble. Because after he says that line, he gets nothing. Seriously. I was like, what's that? Was it pin dropping? Anyway, after that, he didn't say that word the next time he had an opportunity to say it.
Uh-oh.
He didn't say it, and then he had an opportunity to say it again.
I abandoned cursing.
He didn't curse, and then the next time he said fun instead of,
imagine you take your kid to a baseball game. You want him to like baseball. In the first inning, the home team, it's a grand slam, and the kid just doesn't care. You're like, you know what? This isn't going to be for him. So at the big moment, they had nothing, and if they don't like that, they're not going to like the rest of the song.
Well, Eric has to own a little bit of it.
This is the thing. All right, it wasn't just that. First of all, it wasn't a lack of trying. I went out and I gave the best damn performance of that song that I've ever done. Okay,
put his heart into it.
They hated it, and I was like, man, this is going to be a tough crowd. And I go back in there, Justin, and everybody's getting Tommy. They're killing me the entire time. He's killing me.
I said I was the first time I was funnier than Eric. I'm just reading clues. I'm not even. There's no jokes in my
right,
entire.
Yeah,
they love
you're
me.
Just also giving point plot out, points.
That is a music venue, and so the guy was actually tweaking Eric's vocals and the guitar, so like it sounded awesome.
So he's never sounded better.
Yeah, it was the best that song, best rendition of that song that people will ever hear.
Maybe they just really liked the song. Maybe they just thought it was a good musical number.
Yeah, maybe they didn't want to laugh at it because they loved it so much.
They were dancing. Now, at the end, you come out, and there's another big moment where you...
Well, before you get there, he comes out a couple more times just to let them know, hey, I'm looking for something,
yes,
which kind of lends itself to what you see at the end. And normally, when he comes out, Justin starts berating him. Of course, they know him as this lovable, bumbling idiot or whatever. They still don't like him. So, you know, he does that thing where he does the long cry.
Yeah.
They don't care. They're glad.
Right.
They're glad. It's almost like watching some shitty kid get beat in Walmart. You love it.
Now, at the end, when you announced the cast, was there, did they just politely applaud for Eric?
Yeah, that's another thing. Well, now go back because Eric comes out and kind of does this big reveal. Nobody cared. Okay, nobody cared that Eric came out in an orange leotard. They didn't. They're like, "Oh, there's this fucking asshole again, right?
Guy again, jeez."
But you got to love the comedic instincts of Tommy Cimbazzo. Okay, here's what he does. We do this thing. Eric's wearing a leotard. Then he falls, and then when he gets up with his ass towards the audience.
Yes.
Now they already don't like him. They already think he's too foul. So Tommy pulls his leotard up into a wedgie so his naked butt cheeks are exposed. They're already not laughing at him.
Right.
They're already offended by him, and now Tommy's like, you know what? I think this will be a good idea. And it was nothing. They saw it. They were repulsed by it. No reaction, and he walked off the stage.
Now, no pictures? Because usually you're the, of all the people.
This was just consistently through the night. I would go, and I'd be like, you know what? They're getting laughs. I can win them back. And I would double down on something, and I'd come back, and they would double down with deafening silence. It got to the point where it was at the end where, you know, Justin's kind of going through the list of suspects, and I was just like, hey, Katie, should I do the Scooby-Doo thing to Tommy? Because he's wearing, like, a wig. So I did a Scooby-Doo wig reveal on him. No, nothing. It was probably the worst thing. It made Moscow look like a
Moscow looked like Who's on First.
Yes, that was the reference to More Cow.
That's
in Russian.
Right.
Hey, I go on Jamma Jamma's Facebook and look at the most recent reviews. It said, I just went to the murder mystery Saturday night. Really funny. Loved it, except for the creepy musical act guy.
It really says that?
No, I made that. But,
Oh my God, it's fucking
great. I wanted that to be true. But I did look, and there was nothing. Damn it. So you had another bone to pick with Eric, from my understanding, or Robbie
did.
There's another issue. And what I'd like to do, if you guys don't mind, is I'm going to tell you what I think happened. And then I want to hear these guys' rendition of it, their version of it. Okay?
Sure.
Because I am, first of all, when we went to the Vienna Inn, which is awesome, by the way. The Vienna Inn is awesome, and I highly recommend.
I heard that place had burned down.
Well, they were there Saturday night. What do you think
so
is true?
So was Robbie. So that's sorry. You heard the place we were sitting in burned down. You already know that it wasn't. I saw you eating a corn dog there.
Well, I think there was probably a fire, and somebody had exaggerated to me is my point.
Well, anyway, even when we went there, they hated
it. That's the first time I had done the song. I'd done it at the Vienna Inn, and it burned down the night. I think it's a better rendition of it.
That's the other thing, is that when Eric was talking to the waitress, you could tell she was a little... She was something about him she didn't like.
Word travels fast in that town.
Either the way he ordered, or I don't know what it was, but there was still an issue even as we went into another place of business in Vienna. But Eric was expressing to Robbie...
Yeah, everybody in Vienna just hated me.
We're in the Vienna Inn, and Eric is expressing his love for the Dark Tower. Is that correct, Robbie, the Dark Tower?
Yes. It's a series of books.
Right. It's a series of books, okay? And Eric is... Robbie doesn't... He's not... They're not having a conversation. Eric is just saying how much he loves it. So, of course, Robbie's first reaction is, well, I believe that to be Stephen King's worst work. Okay. So that's the first thing. But then... He goes, well, it was early in his career. It's the first thing he ever published. And Robbie, literally, it's almost like you said, hey, your girlfriend's a dirty whore. I mean, that's his reaction. He goes, what? That? What? That is complete bullshit. Joe, back me on this, okay? And I'm like, well, I don't know, and nor is it important to me, right? But he wanted my backup. So I'm like, I don't know. You may very well be right. He was angry and passionate. So we're sitting there, and Eric's literally like, well, you're making me kind of doubt myself, whatever. And he pulls up on his phone, and he goes, ah, I told you. I mean, literally, this is what he does. He goes, I told you. And he's shoving his phone in his face. And I'm like,
what is it, a review on there or something?
I literally am sitting, my first thought is, do I act like that? Because I know I like to be right. I know I do. But I feel like I'm way more charming, and I saw that, and I'm like, because I am constantly fighting this idea because it's been ingrained in me my whole life about how important being right is. So I really work hard to try. And I see that and I go, God, if that's how I am viewed, I got to know. I have to know if that's how I act when I'm right.
That's how the job of was viewing Eric. That's how you were viewing Robbie.
So was that noticeable to you, Eric, what Robbie did? And Robbie, do you believe that to be a normal response to being correct?
I know that I overreacted, but it wasn't as bad as you just described.
We'll hear Eric's version.
I didn't take it as hard. And then, when I said consult the internet, I was like, well, we're going to find out soon here. The second he pulled it up, he's like, yes, look at that. And he just put it up there. And I think Joe actually got more enjoyment out of seeing that than Robbie did. Because there was this thing in Joe's eyes where he goes, ha ha, so modest, Robbie.
It was so bad. His reaction was so awful. But you know not to get anything wrong around Robbie. That's the point.
But this is subjective. I mean, right?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Oh, by the way, hold on. So Robbie was right about the order in which these books were released or written or something like that, okay. Right?
I said that his first thing published was
Carrie. We're getting there. Don't you worry, Robbie. I'll get the other thing you got right. So then Robbie goes, no, I believe his first book published was Carrie, right? So after he proved him wrong about the Dark Tower, he then pulled up the Carrie information and gave the exact same reaction to being right about that later on.
The other thing that I was right about didn't really have to do with the Dark Tower. It had to do with
Carrie being his first book.
It
you
had
said
to be
that.
With The Running Man.
Okay, hold on. Did you or did you not?
No, I said The Running Man was his first book that I was clearly wrong about.
Got it, we know.
I owned up to it. It yes. Probably put me in my place.
But then he said that Carrie was his first book.
And then the
book.
Other thing was, I said that The Dark Tower was his first book he ever wrote, but I'm still sticking to that. It just never was published.
Okay, but hold on. But Robbie, when saying no, it wasn't The Running Man, it was Carrie, he was right about it not being The Running Man, and then he was right about Carrie later, and he then showed you that as well.
And I also pointed out that Running Man was published under his pseudonym Richard Bachman.
Yes.
And Eric was doubting that as well, and I pointed
so that was three things that Eric is a really bad Saturday for you.
But Robbie, why do you take it so personal?
It's all Vienna, Virginia. It's my kryptonite. I think if this conversation had happened in Maryland, I would have gotten it right. Home field advantage. That's what I needed.
Or maybe I would have tempered things. I just think that the worst in you comes out in Vienna.
Hey, Eric, before we let you go, you want to plug your new quality time with the worst comedian of all time, Tom Myers?
Okay. So, yeah, I got two things for you guys. One more thing to add to this story is while I was at work today, I got a private text message from Joe that also said, man, you were such an idiot for challenging Robbie last night. So he put the extra 10 yards to remind me of this one more time. And then he brought me on the show to remind me one more time. So last night I had the wonderful Quality Time podcast, which Joe is our only number one fan that we have. And last night we had a very special guest in the world's worst comedian, Tom Myers. Other people proclaim this. I you know what? I'm sticking by it. Not the world's worst comedian, not by a long shot. And I will let you know that the first 30 minutes of this Tom Myers episode is pure fire. Okay, we come out with hard hitting questions. We get pretty straightforward answers from Tom. I didn't know it was going to happen, but it's going to be a good one. So you guys should definitely check it out.
So when you say the world's worst comic, yes, there's somebody who may not be maybe less self-aware, but you know, Tom is very well known now, especially because of Cumtown, which is a podcast that's got a trillion listeners, yes. and they talk about him all the time. And that's, and literally, like, if there's a Reddit yep. about Tom Myers, then those fans of that show just come out in droves. Everybody knows about his bong hit transplant. Everybody yes. knows it. They know everything about this guy. And the main reason is A, because he's so bad that he transcends, but also he does a really good job about kind of defrauding his way onto, you know,
if you
television.
Consider that he's done 20 years of stand-up and 5 CDs and 6 television appearances, albeit local television,
he's the worst
of all time.
Is, yeah. Eric, who's worse? You say he's not. You give me one person that fits in that criteria and bombs every time they perform.
I mean, I've heard audio, and you've heard audio of Tom Myers killing recently.
Okay.
I don't know if we need to bring
it up on
the Rob and Joe show, but if we can get that audio,
there's
video proof that he doesn't bomb every single time.
So hold on.
Now I am the proud owner of not one, not two, not three, but 4 out of 5 Tom Myers albums. I'm looking at them right now.
Albums.
I got them chronologically ordered.
Well, no, Robbie will let you know the order.
Collection that I have.
Yeah, don't get the order wrong. Robbie will shove his iPhone down your throat.
I just was correcting somebody in chat, too.
Joe, just one more extra teaser for Quality Time, Quality Time Podcast. Jeremy has written a song about Tom Myers that I think might be his best work he's ever done.
All right. Well, if it's better than the 13 Ghosts song from last week, then I can't wait to hear it. But hear me out. I just want to make one.
It's going to be hard.
One quick point about Tom Myers. Yes, Tom Myers. Look, I remember when Tom Myers was in the DC improv competition.
Yes.
And droves of comics came out to see him.
Yes, to laugh at how bad he is.
And I remember when he was at that Arts Collective or something like that, and Tony Grasick and Ryan Connor and a bunch of other comics went out, they cheered him. So I hear what you're saying, that nobody's listening to his jokes and being like, that's awesome. Yes. I got to get this. Make America innate again.
But,
I got to get it.
In Tom's defense, Dan Ninen might be a worse comedian.
I don't think Dan Ninen is a worse comedian.
Yeah, right. I would say, but Ninen actually, he kind of crushes, though. Dan kind of crushes in front of people. It's the same thing. Like, nobody, as an audience, Tom might bomb, but you don't walk away thinking, like, man, that's the world's worst comedian. It's a comedy thing. The comedy, he has a bit of an air about him now because he's been the butt of so many jokes over the years that now Tom, and the worst part is that he just won't embrace it. You know, I tried to see if, well, you guys can hear the interview, but I tried to get him to embrace the idea of maybe he's the world's worst comedian.
And by the way, this is the text messages between Eric and I today. I was just sitting here thinking about what an idiot you are for being wrong about Stephen King. That was my text to him. And then I said, and then he said, I'm trying to move on. And then I said, how dare you think you know something? So that was the text exchange.
Thank you, Eric. You're a good sport. Next time we're in Vienna, we won't book you. So simple as that.
That clearly will not never happen. Eric needs to be on every show we ever do.
Eric Weber, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Listen to Quality
back.
Time.
I'm coming harder than ever this time.
There you go. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
I love you, Eric.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show. From the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game, comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under $1 a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, August 11th at the Bright Box Theater, Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
That was fun.
It was, but I bet Robbie is more, what's the word? I bet he's more annoyed about the cleanup he has to do for to that audio than he is about how enjoyable it was to have that conversation. Am I right or wrong, Robbie?
Probably.
Yeah, but that's peak Robbieism. So you get to really flex your Robbie muscles there. I mean, that story is all about what you pride yourself on. It's just demanding that someone acknowledge when you're right and throw it in their face. So it's sort of like it's a weird moment for you because it's more work, but it's also work that highlights the thing you most love about yourself.
Being correct.
Exactly.
Somebody in the chat said Running Man is the best Richard Dalton movie, and I had to say Richard Dawson.
You had to do that.
So I think he was thinking about Roadhouse when he's talking about Dalton.
Can we talk about...
well, can I do one more Robbie thing before? Yeah. Because I meant to talk about this a couple weeks ago, and I keep forgetting. I'm going to send it. I'm going to send you a picture of it, Robbie, so you can post it on the Rob and Joe Show page. But Robbie brought a fly swatter, an electric fly swatter, to Ocean City.
4th of July, it was a gift for them.
And it has... I think it said it had 1,400 or 1,600 volts running through it.
Yeah, I don't even know how that... I never even knew that existed.
Well, I'm about to show you a picture of it. Now, it's sitting on the counter. Okay, this is what it looks like.
It's like a tennis racket. It
looks like a toy, am I right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what this thing is. So?
So you touch it.
I touch it. And it shoots... Right now, I swear on my life, I'm getting goosebumps right now from remembering. And I picked it up, and I touched this thing, and it shot whatever. And I don't want to exaggerate. I think it was 1,400 or 1,600 volts that shot...
Well, Robbie will tell you exactly how many it is.
Well, I'm assuming Robbie bought it. But that's... So I'm not sure who to be upset with. Maybe myself. But when you look at it, am I nuts?
It does look like a toy.
It does look like a toy,
it
right?
It looks like something I'd want to touch and play with.
I picked it up, and I just like almost like you hit the strings of a... I'm like, this is a weird game because it's metal, and I push... Yeah. There's a button. Well, if you have a game, what do you think you do?
Let me put this up against my face and see what happens.
I swear, I press the button, and it not buckle my knees.
Is that a sex toy you also use, Robbie? It'll smack that smack the booty with that thing.
It was laying on top of the packaging, which said it was an electric fly swatter. I mean,
that's
I don't know
true.
What else
it was
I could...
laying on top. Honestly, it didn't occur to me, honestly, to read it. It didn't occur to me. I'm like, oh, it's a game. Doesn't it look like a game? Am I crazy?
Yes.
It's got a lightning, a plastic lightning bolt on it. I assume it's a game.
But you're still swinging this at a fly, right?
You really kind of, yes, but really, if it touches the fly just dies on it.
But if you're swinging with a regular swatter that big and you hit it, it's probably dead too.
Yeah, but this is a little cleaner because you just move it up. If it flies onto it, then it's done, and you just But yeah, it doesn't smush it or anything like that. That's not the point. The point is that I don't necessarily blame Robbie. That's a good thing that he did to try to bring a fly swatter. But
there's always flies in the condo in the summer.
There are, but you know. Either the maker of this toy or this product or the deliverer has got to let people know. It's serious risk.
You could, because it has the lightning bolt on it.
But if you look at it.
You could write, that could be words just saying, do not touch.
Right, yes, exactly. No, it's got to look, what are they trying to make it look? They're trying to make it look like a toy.
Exactly.
It's made in China where.
Oh, okay.
People don't sue as much.
Makes sense. I want to talk about, I thought you had a great tweet, Joe, and I thought I made a great comment about it, and apparently you're calling it a backhanded compliment.
Why don't you read what you read?
Well, I'll read your tweet first. It was regarding Tiger Woods, who almost won the British Open, had his best...
Yeah, he lost by, he was 5-under, 8-under is the winner.
I just want to interrupt real quick here. That person that I corrected in chat, I'm 90% sure it's Jeremy.
Okay, thanks for interrupting.
You're going crazy in chat.
That's probably it. So you said, I feel sorry watching Tiger's caddy. It's like being Heather Locklear's current boyfriend. Hashtag British Open 2018. So you're talking about something that's happening in real time, Tiger Woods. It's probably number one trending thing on Twitter. You do the proper hashtag. And at the time, it only had one or two likes. And I thought it was a really good joke because, you know, Tiger's caddy back in his heyday.
Yeah, it would make millions and millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Writing books afterwards and so forth.
Right, you're a celebrity.
Never won a tournament with him.
Yeah, like the eighth most popular person in golf is Tiger's caddy. He's above most players. So, and now no one knows who his caddy is. So I'm trying to figure out what exactly I said, but
you actually retweeted it.
I did retweet it.
And you said, this is your best tweet, which I don't like. It's almost like you've never done anything better than this.
I said, your best tweet, but no picture involved, so no Twitter love.
Right. And I said before, you've kind of given me, like, it's cheap that I always include pictures in my tweets as if my written word should be what I hang my hat on, and therefore it gives me merit. If you send a picture, it makes it kind of cheap. It's an easy, I guess you're a shill for likes or whatever. That's I got that impression. So then when you said that, I go, well, it's a compliment, but really you're letting me know that you think that the other stuff that I do on Twitter is kind of cheap.
Well, no, I think words, a really well-crafted joke with words is better than a funny picture.
Maybe, but I don't agree with that. Matter of fact, I sent out, did I not send it to you? There was two pictures of two slides. And somebody says, hey, remember these? And the guy retweeted and goes, who forgot about slides? Okay, yes. That was fucking hilarious. And it had to do with a picture. I did that. I sent that picture of the Oriole van going by.
Yes.
And I put honk if you're horrible. I mean, I think those things are as funny as any clever pun or whatever the fuck else is going on out there.
But funnier to me doesn't definitely mean best. Like, this was your most clever, I thought, and funny tweet. Like could be, you could say that on stage. That could be a bit. You couldn't go on and so there's this picture of these two. Like that wouldn't work.
So I hear what you're saying. If the criteria is that you turn this tweet into a joke, yes, it's much more likely that I'll be able to do that than a picture of a banana milkshake that's being sold at a gas station. But that's
this
fucking
is the
hilarious.
Medium we're working in.
Right. There's a reason you can put pictures on there. By the way, if you go to the gas station and see that they're selling banana milkshakes there.
Yes.
And you can then take a picture of that and go, like, anybody's, it says two banana milkshakes for whatever. And I put, like, anybody's going to buy one banana milkshake. That's fucking a lot. Just as funny as anything.
I think those are funny.
Right.
But I'm saying, whatever the, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10,
okay,
there's a tweet with only words that's an 8 out of 10 funny, and there's one with a picture that's 8 out of 10 funny. The picture one's going to get 3 times the likes.
Well, right, and
because that's, I'm taking a shot at Twitter on this.
Yeah,
comment.
But I mean, that's the medium, but if you enjoy them more, you enjoy them more. I will say this. Regardless of what you like, it's got to be fucking funnier than J.L. Covan's 900 Trump tweets. God, every time I see it, I get more frustrated. I'm like, you're funny. Can you just stop? Yeah. Whatever.
He's all in on that being his brand.
No kidding.
The irony of all this is, like, if he builds his brand up big enough, then he has to root for Trump to win. So to be reelected.
Right.
So
yeah, that's a good point.
He's created an identity that his career needs Trump to win again, and his own personal sanity and his desire for the world to be a better place, he needs Trump to lose.
It is funny because I always read his tweets because I'm like, I need to know if it's about Trump. And by the way, it always is.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to unfollow him. I love him and he's funny. But I mean, every single time I see it, I don't know why I'm rooting for it to be about Trump so I can be like...
Well, I do wonder, because I see this a lot with comics. I don't, like, anyone at this point on Facebook and Twitter, if anybody's really bothered by those, they've stopped following you.
Yeah.
So you're not, you're just going on, you're going on a Redskins message board and saying, I hate the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. You're right. You're basically
so it's
just.
Like, okay, yeah.
I wonder if I'm going to see Jordan Peterson in concert. Do you know this?
Wow.
I'm dead serious.
Is that a thing? All right.
So, yeah, he's going to be at the Hippodrome.
What is he going to play?
It's going to be a lecture. And Katie knows how much I love this guy. So she went out and bought tickets to see Jordan Peterson at the Hippodrome. By the way, we're in the nosebleeds. The tickets are $80 a piece.
I know nothing about him other than the one thing on YouTube that you showed me. But apparently, I have no idea why anything he's ever said is wrong. But I don't know anything that he said other than that. So,
well, he's never said anything wrong. Well, I'm kidding.
I have no idea, but I just generally, whenever Twitter is outraged about something, they're almost always incorrect.
Yes.
Whenever the mass on Twitter thinks something, it's almost.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it this time.
Right. You're like, okay. Then you do a little more research, and you're like, all right, maybe I've missed the point here. So, good times in Philadelphia, Helium Comedy Club, David Koechner.
Yeah, you said you crushed.
Yeah, we had really good shows. We had great numbers. You know, I was saying, because he's keeps running through, people that like assistants and social media, people that run the social media. And because everywhere we go, we walk around and he's constantly recognized. And I'm like, Dave, you know, you should be selling out every show because so many people were recognizing you. If they knew that you were at this club, there would be a no-brainer. It would be sold out. It's just impossible to have this many people recognize you and want to take a picture and talk to you.
Yeah, and not sell every seat. Yeah.
And I'm like, you need to do some sort of advance, you know, like he's doing like a print call in for a newspaper. On the day before the show, it doesn't make any sense, no. Right? That's going to come out Saturday and they're going to read it Saturday afternoon and come to Saturday night? No. So, and he's going to try to come to Magoobies. So I know Andrew put an offer out, so hopefully that'll work out. But I had the idea he should do an advanced radio call with one of the big stations and set up a Champ Kind Whammy contest.
He'll do it with 98 Rock. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, 100%, yeah.
No brainer. You call in and you give your best Champ Kind impression, insert your local, in this case, Baltimore sports highlight or something that you turn into his and yell whammy.
Well, they could do something with Keith Mills.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's so many things to do. So, but the shows were almost sold out, but Saturday night, you know, this was one of those times it makes you figure out, like, what did we do before the internet? Because it rained. I mean, it rained all on the East Coast, and it rained especially hard in Philly as well. And so we show up Saturday, and it's sold out both shows, and the internet is down. And that means their point of sale POS system is down, and they can't, like, do anything. They can't, there's reservations that they can't check and log them in, and they can't do credit cards. And I'm like, there's no backup? Like, this is...
What'd they do?
Well, they stalled. They kept waiting. And then finally, it sort of was in and out. And they were just trying to just do beer and wine, $5 each, and make the math easy. But Dave had a good idea. He said, why don't I come out? Because we're starting a half hour late. People are upset. And, you know, instead of the MC coming out, I'll come out, apologize to people, welcome them, and then I'll bring the MC up. And then we'll start the show. And it actually, he came out. They went crazy.
Yeah.
Made a few jokes about it. And then we ended up having two really good shows. But I actually think the way that we were, like, so cool about it, because as you work at these clubs and you start talking to the wait staff and the management, you realize there's a lot of comics that are just the difficult and the pain in the ass. And so when we're not that, it makes us, it's really,
yeah,
we're just being normal, but apparently that's, you know, above and beyond.
It is strange that you say that, because I remember when I was really trying to get booked.
Right.
The first thing that I would do, and I know you do the same thing, your home club has always been the DC Improv. Mine was the Baltimore Comedy Factory.
Right.
Now it's Magoobies. But the first thing that I would do is endear myself to the bartenders, to the doormen, to the waiters and waitresses, anything that I could do so they knew, oh, I like when that guy's around. It helps.
Yes.
But you're right. I mean, I think about, Ari Spears. You know, I mean, all you do is hear stories about him being an awful person, right?
Yes.
And that's interesting to me because, of course, I had firsthand experience with that as well when he thought I went long and I went 2 minutes long. But there are a lot of people. Ari Spears is hilarious.
Yeah, he always crush. Well, yeah, I don't know about that. He does crush.
But there a lot of people crush.
Yes.
A lot. That are that draw and are easy to get along with.
Yeah.
So I never understand it, but again, maybe you're just built that way. But if you're built that way, I mean, I remember when you worked with what was the name that the guy that you worked with, black guy who wouldn't get off stage back at Magoobies, this is like 3 years back.
Oh, Eddie Griffin.
Yeah, Eddie Griffin. So he's going to sell out, but he's also going to demand a much higher price.
Yes.
And when he does, then he can act however the hell he wants. But if you're just another guy, even if you're crushing, I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to be a dick.
Well, Dave is realizing that he, you know, because he doesn't have any demands. Like, his demand now is to try to just get them to pay for my hotel room. And I'm like, you know that they do this for people all the time. They have, like, the woman there told me she thinks that, she thinks Marlon Wayans is demanding these top-end bottles of liquor, and then he never opens them, and then he sells T-shirts, and then he puts the liquor in a suitcase. He thinks these are his Christmas presents.
Oh, it's seriously?
It's the free liquor that he's getting. Yes. Because he never opens it, and then but they're gone at the end of the week.
I mean, you get to decide whether or not you're okay with whatever these yeah. riders are.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, it's always like, what are you willing to ask for? Sometimes it's like, I just don't want to be a dick.
Yeah, look, when I work with Tiffany at the, you know, these theaters, you know, what she would ask for, I mean, she had one bottle of alcohol that I would never ask for, but she had a vegetable plate with hummus and a fruit plate, and then they'd have some healthy dinner that was catered, you know, grilled chicken and rice and vegetables. And it's like, yeah, that seems like something I would like every time. Obviously, bottle of water, some iced tea or something.
Yeah, honestly, who knows, right? You don't know. It's almost right. like if you won the lottery, what would you do? Would you become a more agreeable person or would you become a less agreeable person? You don't know. You're much more entitled now.
Yeah.
Right? Meanwhile, you're the same person. You'd hope you'd be a less entitled person, but that's probably not true. You have a place in this community of comics. If you're not placed correctly in your hierarchy, which is a hierarchy of competence, if right. you're not, there's going to be some resentment. I'm not sure where that comes from, but I guarantee it comes from a level of success where you say, well, I'm not going to open a bag of chips. I'm not doing that. Somebody's going to feed me. I'm not necessarily begrudging people. And obviously, when you're at that level, you can be whoever you want and you still get booked.
Yes.
But, and David Koechner is there. He could probably act like a dick and still get booked.
Right.
Maybe it's just the idea of, I'd rather be liked if everything's equal.
Well, he's also, you know, he's a Midwestern guy, and it's sort of his,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting, his buddy, this is a guy that he grew up with, this guy Frank, who I've met several times, who lives here in Maryland, and,
Hello?
That's not him.
I can't hear you.
Okay, so, he grew up with Dave, and they've been friends ever since. He was actually at the shows. He was working in Philadelphia. I actually rode back with him. I drove back with him. He was coming exactly the same time I was. But he was, I had to imagine, he was probably the only black guy in Tipton, Missouri. It doesn't seem like. So he yeah. was like the one black guy in town, and they've been friends ever since.
He's probably the coolest guy in town, too.
Probably. Well, he's a super cool guy. So I don't think I would. I think I would be easy to get along with. What about Robbie? What if Robbie, our podcast was we were touring and we have these demands. What do you think Robbie would demand? Would he be tough? Would he have some specific thing he'd want?
So I know Robbie would be very demanding. I know that he would. I've told this story. I'm going to tell it again real quick. One time we were filming these little man on the street things for Mickey Coachella's cable show.
Yes.
Okay. And without, I don't know how I'm going to sound, but it was the funniest thing on the show.
Yes.
The things that we did. So at some point, we wanted to make sure that we were protective of how it was edited. We wanted to see it before it went on there, if we could. Well, Robbie was demanding. They wanted something from Robbie. I can't remember what it was.
And it was the releases.
Robbie wanted the releases, and he said, I will not give these releases until I see this. What you're going to put out.
Yes, he gets final edit over here.
Now, this is the truth. I love that Robbie's willing to do that. So to be critical of him is really insincere because I'm not willing to do that. But Robbie is. But I guarantee you that sense of entitlement came from the idea that we should have been placed in a certain order in terms of what was happening on this show. And because we probably should have been at an elevated level, he wanted to have a creative control that they weren't offering to us. And he felt like he could do that. Of course, we probably could have, but I remember Mickey had to call me and goes, hey, dude, can you just have Robbie give these? I mean, we're just trying to get the show out.
Right.
Know? So I said, okay. Yeah, and I had to call Robbie. And even though I was appreciative that he was willing to do that, I was like, dude, this is, nobody's going to fucking see this. Can you just
provide
those releases?
Would you be demanding in your rider of specific things you had to have in the green room?
I wouldn't ask for bottles of liquor that I would take for and give as gifts, but I would, anything that would make the show better, I certainly would demand.
So what would make the show better? Like peanuts instead of almonds? I mean, what would
you? Because almonds would make it way better than peanuts.
Really? You don't, you'd rather have, have mixed nuts, so you'd have almonds, cashews. What's your nut choice?
Whenever we have a thing of the mixed nuts, I pick out the pecans. Is that a pecans? I pick them out.
To not eat them or to eat them?
No, to eat them.
I don't like the pecans.
No. They're the best thing in those.
Okay.
Then followed by the cashew.
Yeah, I like a cashew.
Then the almond. Then the peanut. And the worst is the hazelnut.
Right. Yeah.
Ugh, so bad.
Do you like honey roasted peanuts?
Of course I do.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And Joe, we have Raven's confirmation or not. Rob and Joe should be right back.
The Rob and Joe Show has become a fixture in my weekly flow. I don't miss work or church or chores, nor would I forget Rob and Joe. They aren't just funny, but can be most interesting. Not only that, I make new friends and share our thoughts by being there with them in chat. Their great success is created by all the talent that they share, but much of it is just because they with great luck have Robbie there. For those who miss the bonus shows, I promise it would be worthwhile to pay $5 just to add to your life many laughs and smiles. Just go to Patreon and join. Become a patron today. I promise you will never feel as though you've thrown $5 away.
So you don't know that I
like to suck your tits.
Stop. Jeez, Robbie.
Okay.
That was by request, Kurt Walker.
So what? What if he requested that we punch a girl in the face?
Yeah, what if she wanted you to scream out some racial epitaph? Would you do that?
Seriously. Jeez. We can't have that. That's not appropriate.
Good God.
Please take that out.
You can leave this in?
Kurt, I did it, and they didn't like it.
Well, no, why would we like it?
Who is this guy? I've never even heard of this guy. Yeah, he's just making requests.
Yeah.
He said it like it was Mac Bergson.
Yeah, who's the person, Robbie?
Kurt Walker.
Who the fuck is Kurt Walker?
He's a listener.
All right, well, tell him you can go suck his tits.
No, I like Kurt Walker,
he's requesting things. Exactly.
I like that he's requesting. I like those things, but what you're going to do is take that out. That can't be played.
Of course.
And then you can leave all this in, right, that we are hearing now. But, hey, Kurt, you love the show because we're funny. We got it. Let us handle it.
The other day, you know, back to Picturegate with my headshot and Robbie making my face deformed. He just goes on the Michael O'Mara Show fan page and just posts a picture of that. No reason, no context, out of the blue.
Jeez.
Just for no reason. Just, there's no joke involved.
Did you make his hair more red?
The reason was for that reaction right there.
Exactly. That's it. It's just, all right, well, I'm going to pick a video of me taking a dump on a picture of you. Just funny. It's hilarious.
What was the reaction to it?
People loved it.
No, they were like, what the fuck is this?
Go back and look. People are liking it. They're giving it hearts.
Yeah, I don't think it was as well received
as
you're suggesting.
Just, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wait a second. You're challenging me, Rob. I'll go read the comments.
All right, let's dig in.
While you're looking for the comments, if I'm not mistaken, it isn't like he takes your face and horribly distorts it. He just distorts it enough to where people think it's real, and therefore they think you're ugly. Am I right about that?
This seemed pretty distorted.
Oh, it's very distorted. Yeah. Robbie, is this one very distorted or slightly distorted?
It's pretty distorted.
Okay. Yeah, it's obvious.
Very distorted is different, but when you slightly distort them just to make you look just a little fucked up, but people think it's really you.
All right, I found it.
All right, go ahead. What do we got?
All right, well, he also did something with my nipple, so which is another thing that he's doing.
Okay, well, clearly it's distorted. Let's see how many likes it has. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's being pretty well received, and it has 10 comments. Let's see the comments.
So, Merle Rogers says, Tommy's been drinking the tea again. AJ Dury says, Oscar's forehead, Mike's eyes, and Rob's smirk, or Paul Giamatti. It's pretty good. Super, super Robbie fanboy. Mac Bergson, best one yet.
Best one yet.
David Fancer, that's funny man Rob Mayer. So he's just saying who I am.
Okay.
Valerie Aslan, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Jolene White, ha ha ha. Mary Chastain, wow, Rob Mayer's nipples are impressive.
Are they protruding? I didn't notice.
She goes, is that okay to say, or do I just sexually harass you? And I said, hashtag me too. And she said, I mean, it's only fair women need to toe the line too, but spectacular high beams though. So fine, you can have your moment. They're the nipples, Joe, if you want to.
Man.
Yeah.
But all that love is not why I did it. It's for this moment right here. Well, that just annoys you so much.
Yeah. It was no context. Just out of the blue, he just posts that. So can we officially say that you are doing the pregame of the Baltimore Ravens, Joe?
I thought I had already officially said it. But
well, I mean, but then no one at the station knew that.
Can
apparently.
I say this? So I did. I filled in for Mary Ann.
Yeah.
And so it was me and Kirk. So I literally said to him, I go, hey, I know Rob said something about us doing the pregame. He said, you sounded like you didn't know about it. Did they not discuss this with you? He said, yeah, they did. I didn't know it was out there in the ether.
Okay.
So I go, okay, but I didn't say it on the air. I did.
Yeah.
I said, I told Rob, actually, I did. I think I did. I said it on my show. I did tell him that. But so I never knew. Nobody told me to not to say anything.
Right, right.
But also who walked in was Chris. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
Chris.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, I knew too. So they both knew.
Why are they acting like? Because I literally said, oh, I guess that's not known yet. Then.
But that's the other thing is that it's not like you're just some guy.
Right.
We're in business together.
Yeah.
So it was a very it was weird to try to not.
They no he
and
one of them
also
one of them literally said something to the effect that's news to me,
huh? Okay, well anyway, it's official and they know, so I'm not sure where that came from, but yeah,
it's this weird thing to the jig is up, guys. We can talk about it. So I have made a decision. Now, obviously, you know, I've never been
You're
the best
transitioning.
Man
oh, okay.
Never been the have transitioning. I've never been the best man in a wedding before, so I assume it's my role to lead the bachelor party decision making or throw out ideas or
every time I've been the best man, I've thrown the bachelor party.
Okay. Now do you as the groom, do you have veto power, I assume?
Well yeah, I mean you can't
well,
yeah,
I mean, right. But
I'm not going to hedonism.
Okay. Do you think because you know what I've suggested, do you think Robbie will approve or disapprove?
Well, I mean whether or not he'll approve or disapprove, he'll go and he'll enjoy himself.
Well, we'll see about that.
Unless Eric's there as arch nemesis.
We're going to go see the Dark Tower, a live adaptation. I was talking to Scott Bergson, and we were talking about Atlantic City and the sports gambling that is now legal there, amongst other places. And I know you guys have went to Vegas for March Madness before, which takes place, obviously, in March, the college basketball tournament. And have gone out there for the first weekend or first couple days where there's, you know, 32 games. And I've greatly enjoyed that. So I think we should go to either the Borgata or this new casino called Ocean. It's brand new with a brand new sports book right there, more on the strip in Atlantic City. Go there for middle of March for March Madness.
Yeah, that sounds like a fucking great idea.
Yeah. You could drive there. It's obviously easier than Vegas.
I'm trying to think what Robbie would do. He doesn't gamble.
No.
He doesn't watch sports. You know what, though, Robbie? A lot of times they have concerts there.
Yeah.
Maybe we can see who's going to be there in March.
Robbie?
I don't know how to hide my disgust for this whole idea.
What if Dave Matthews is there?
How about it's just not in Atlantic City?
Well, no, Robin, the whole idea is the sports betting. That's
yeah, but
the
I don't
place.
I don't care well, about March we're not basketball. Go to I don't care about basketball. I don't care about betting. And I hate Atlantic City.
Okay. Are you the one? Are you getting married?
There's nothing. Is there a concert there that weekend? Can we find that out?
I don't know if they've announced the March 14th whatever concert schedule.
Atlantic City. Sorry about the loud keyboard.
Yeah.
Concert. Oh, concerts 2018. That won't work. 19. So let's put 2019.
Can't you just hang out and drink and have fun?
I will try. I swear to you, Rob, I vowed never to return to that place.
Jesus.
That's how much I dislike it.
I've never vowed to do anything. Yeah, I've never made a vow.
Well,
you've made one.
Yeah,
Robbie's made two vows.
Yeah, your vows don't mean shit.
Yeah. Till death do us part.
This is a valid point.
So I will say this. March 9th at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey, right? Fleetwood Mac.
I think that's too soon. I think the tournament usually, I'm just guessing it's going to start March 24th. March 14th, excuse me.
Late March.
It's probably March 14th.
This is as far as it goes.
Okay.
So sorry, maybe you got to stop thinking about tomorrow now. Just kind of tweet Rob would like.
Yep. sorry, I said it was a great tweet. I'll never compliment it again.
Hey, real quick, are we going to do the Graham story? We want to do it next episode. Yeah, let's do it next episode.
Boom, there we go.
So I got a.
Selection Sunday is March 17th, which would mean then March 21st would be the day.
Okay, so there's nothing out that far. We got to wait. It's another 12 days from the. Well, no, it wouldn't be. Oh, you're talking about we'd go on Friday or Thursday?
To be determined. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, if we go on Saturday or Friday, that would be 8 plus 14. So that's the 22nd. 21st would be a Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I'm whatever's easiest for people to get there.
So I sent a screenshot of an email to both you and Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
It came to me. The subject of this is your son's grades. Okay.
Sounds important.
Now, the first thing is sons isn't possessive, so you would feel like if it came from a...
grammar teacher.
Right. And then it says, hi, I'm sorry to say your son Joseph's grades have been falling behind the other students. You may want to have a private talk with him, or we may have to bring him into the principal. Then it has a name on there. It says Crobate Goy. See the name?
Yes.
But
last name Crobate, first name Goy.
Yeah, it has a comma in it, so it's... It's Goy, G-O-U-Y, first name is Crobate, okay? And then in the picture is a picture of a baby with Hitler hair and a Hitler mustache. So, I mean, I'm thinking that if these guys were trying to scam me in some way, right?
Yes.
They're trying to scam me. Well, first of all, they did a bad job, but... The Hitler thing is, who's going to fucking fall for that?
Maybe, teacher.
You can't be an educator and have a picture that references Hitler.
Maybe he's trying to see how smart the father is. Maybe if he thinks that the kid is dumb.
Do you want to know the email address? It's Pokeman, P-O-K-E-M-A-N.
Pokemon? Pokeman.
Well, it might be Pokemon, but it doesn't have the accent.
Sure.
So Pokemon then, but P-O-K-E-M-A-N. I guess that's how you spell Pokemon, too.
No, Pokemon's M-O-N.
M-O-N. So it is Pokemon. Pokeman, I mean.
But Pokemon or Pokeman.
Yeah.
1014@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's a bullshit.
With the Hitler baby, with the Hitler hair, and the Hitler mustache.
Come on. Don't you think that's somebody you know is screwing around?
Well, I don't... What's the joke?
That it's a baby with Hitler mustache.
Well, sounds like a Robbie joke.
Yeah, but. I mean, I don't understand, like, what would I do with this? Maybe talk about it on the air? Maybe that's what they're hoping?
Robbie thinks that we're so starved for content, he's just putting things out there to get us to talk about.
Yeah, Robbie, are you the Hitler baby? Are you Pokeman?
I wish I thought of it. It's pretty funny. I would have used the possessive, though. I would have made it correct.
Yeah, we'll email him back and say...
So I'm afraid to email him back.
I
feel like I shouldn't.
Why don't you just have Joey take care of it?
His grades?
It's his responsibility to figure this out.
Well, anyway, it's pokeman1014@gmail.com. If somebody wants to go figure out what's going on with that, they can do that.
Have at it, folks.
But I sent the guy $10,000.
So we'll see everybody in March 22nd for Joe's Bachelor Party, Atlantic City, everyone but Robbie. And I'll be in San Francisco. Actually, we're recording another show before I leave. So I guess we can talk about that then.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing is, Robbie, I'm sorry, not to go back to the, but I am.
Go back.
The Bachelor Party. So do you like to drink?
No.
Well, what did you think we were going to do?
What do you want to do, Robbie? You want to sit around and read fucking Chaucer to each other?
Is that an option?
Okay, but Robbie, you know, Joe, you know, we're not going to a strip club. You know that's not happening.
I'm all in favor of doing what Joe wants to do. That's fine.
But I'm saying, what would you do?
I don't know. There were some suggestions thrown out when you guys talked about this before that sounded pretty good. Atlantic City was never mentioned at that point, or I would have said, hey, maybe not Atlantic City.
Okay, so we still maybe, and it's still up in the air, I guess, about us doing the murder mystery around the Mike O'Mara
Vegas
show or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, then maybe we can reconsider and make that.
No, it's too soon. I can't do...
Love Vegas.
No, there's no...
You know, Robbie, we're going there anyway. That's what I'm saying. We're still going. And by the way, if you want to just go and you call that the Bachelor Party and Justin's there and Tommy and Eric and me, yeah, it's still the same thing. Go enjoy yourself or do whatever. Prove Eric wrong over and over again.
Well, who do you think amongst the people that you would like to have at your Bachelor Party, do you think most would like this Atlantic City idea? Now, yes. I know there's the poker guys that would love that all love this idea.
I'm trying to think other than Robbie who won't.
Well, Tommy maybe.
I think Tommy will still enjoy it.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's the second.
Dave Wilkerson.
He'll love it. Yeah. Dave Wilkerson will love it.
Eric
will love it.
Yeah. Sean Gabbert.
He'll love it.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody will love it.
Is Gramps invited?
Of course Gramps is invited. He'll definitely love it. But of course, you know, you got my, Gramps, you know, likes, all my circles of friends will like it. So the
James, Black James.
Yeah, Black James, yeah, Vegas, Gary, all that, Ken, all that group will love it.
Yeah.
The comedy group will love it.
Frank Push.
Frank Push will love it. Yes. Yeah, it's just shitting on me all weekend.
Hello?
Laughing at my sports picks.
Exactly. I think it's funny if what if we get the listeners to donate money to Robbie to bet on basketball and see if he can outperform us. Does that make it more interesting, Robbie?
Not really.
That way it's not your money and it's adding show content. And look, once you have put money on a game, you suddenly are into that game.
Yeah,
trust
then
me.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's valid.
Or you can
I'll
just
find a way to enjoy myself.
All right, you'll be playing miniature golf with some girl that falls down a lot.
Somebody said, can't Robbie just buffet hop in Atlantic City?
Yeah,
that's true.
He can.
That's the other thing, Robbie. There are tons of buffets in Atlantic City.
But yeah, I'm not. I like to do that with my girlfriend. And she's
the thing is,
not coming.
Everything that I've suggested with Joe revolves around a sporting event or gambling. I mean, what else? So all these, I don't know what we would do that you wouldn't. There's nothing we would do that you would be gung ho about.
Yeah, it would be difficult, Robbie, to get you to do something that. To do something you'd like to do.
Like I said, I'm all in favor of doing what you want to do.
Well, no, but I'm interested. What would you, if you were throwing it, what would we be doing?
We'd probably be going to MGM and doing something similar, not Atlantic City.
Look, if they had legal sports betting in MGM by then, we would, but I don't think they will.
Okay. I understand.
That's the
yeah,
the,
was you had talked about
element.
Poker, not about the tournament.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're not playing poker either,
right.
Robbie.
No, but that I like watching everybody play poker.
No, it's more of a communal thing, us betting on basketball.
No, I get it. Believe me, I get the decision. Yeah. I completely understand. Everybody's going to love it, with the exception, probably Tommy's not really into this, but not he won't have the dislike for Atlantic City like I do.
I don't know. When we were at Vienna Inn, how cool do you think we looked? It was me and Robbie, Justin, Eric, Tommy, and Katie, and we were rolling 20-siders against each other, this best 2 out of 3.
Yeah, you'll be doing that with Eric and Tommy.
Because Tommy, I was talking about how much stuff my son Joey keeps in his pocket. He looks like Tommy Wiseau. But of course,
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy from... The disaster artist who made that. Okay. He just keeps tons of stuff in his pocket. Well, Joey does the same thing, but Tommy has more stuff in his pocket than anybody.
Yes.
So I started saying, what do you have? And I go, do you have any dice? He goes, yeah, I got two 20-siders right here. Pulled a two 20-sided.
Yeah, I've taken a lot of flights with Tommy. Trust me, it's frustrating. Yes.
And he's, when you have to put your keys and everything, he's exactly. pulling out a bunch of dice.
Right. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.